turn our attention back to the markets here, because we are seeing tech stocks outperform the broader markets today. The Nasdaq up for a second straight day as investors jump back in to buy the dip after a brutal January. Let's bring in Dan Niles, Satori Fund founder and portfolio manager. Dan, it's good to talk to you today. I'd be curious to get your thoughts on how you have been seeing this shakedown that played out to kick off the year. It sounds like you've adjusted quite a bit in your portfolio, especially in your holdings on Meta, or shall I say, selling Meta.
We entered this year thinking the S&P is going to be down 20% at some point during the year, driven by high inflation. You in your earlier segment were talking about burrito prices at Chipotle, and Brian was mentioning, you know, Lyft and how rides, how they've gone up in terms of expense because these companies are having to focus now on making money. And I think those are all themes that are going to lead to the Fed having to raise rates 5 to 6 times this year, start to work down their balance sheet. And all of that means that market multiples will continue to compress, and especially for names that don't make any money. You know, last year it was all about tell me the story and how great it is. This year it's about show me the money, show me that you're making profits, that you're growing profitably, and that you have cash flow. And so I think the market's making quite a bit of a shift, and you've got valuations still near record levels, and those will have to come in as rates continue to go up. And so that's how we've been sort of looking at the portfolio from a big picture and how we think about the year. But you're not going to go straight down in a line. You're going to get these, you know, bear market rallies and then drops and bear market rallies and drops. And I think this is going to go on for at least a year.
Dan, Brian here. Is this the last earnings season that we'll see with the trend on margin? Because based off of what you just said, it sounds like the big headwind is when the Fed raises rates, that's going to create some margin pressure and then kind of lead to some of these multiples coming down. So are the comps in the next quarter reasonable given the hot earnings that we've seen so far, at least for the Q4 season?
Yeah, I think you're bringing up a great point, Brian. No, I don't think the comps are reasonable because you've got inflation at such high levels. You've got CPI sitting at 7%. It's the highest in 40 years. You've got average hourly earnings up 5.7% year over year. And don't forget, the U.S. economy is, you know, 70%+ driven by the services sector. So you've got wage inflation that's very high. You've got 3 million more job openings than you have people unemployed, which is why you see the quits rate so high. So that should continue to pressure that. And home prices are up more year over year now than they were during the housing bubble. They're up 18% year over year. They peaked it up 17% during the housing bubble. That's going to continue to drive rents. So all of those things, back to your point, Brian, is going to really pressure margins, which, you know, have been sitting near record high levels. They're going to start to compress a little bit, I think, as we go forward. And that's going to cause further pressure on multiples.
Dan, let's talk about the big tech trade. We got a slew of earnings last week that really seemed to point to a shift in how these companies are moving forward. Obviously, Meta, the biggest loser so far, that stock is down more than 30%. And when you mentioned right after the earnings call that, look, you don't necessarily buy this story about competition that's heating up right now. TikTok has been there for a while. When you look at the names here, whether it is an Alphabet or a Meta or an Amazon, how do you sort of pick and choose the winners? What is a good opportunity or a good buy right now?
It's a great question. I think if you think about what we all did, so for the last 2 years, you know, since COVID started, we've been sort of stuck at home. So what have you been doing? You've been buying stuff, whether it's a Peloton bike, a streaming service from Netflix, ordering stuff off of Amazon, et cetera. That's what you've been doing. Hopefully, you know, at holiday season a year from now, you know, we'll be taking a flight, staying at our favorite hotel, sitting on a beach in Hawaii, you know, surfing for a relaxation. So you're going to go from buying stuff to doing things. And so that's going to really, I think, change the composition of what demand is as you go throughout this year. Because I think by the time you get to the end of this year, you're going to start to think about COVID kind of like the flu. The flu kills 30 to 40,000 people every year, sort of an acceptable risk of living life. And I think that's where COVID's going to end up. And so when I look at stocks, I'm trying to look for names that are going to benefit as the economy opens up. So if I look at Google, for example, they get about 10 to 15% of their ad dollars coming from things like vacation spots, hotels, airlines, et cetera, that should benefit as things reopen up. So that should kind of help them survive a little bit more. And so I'm looking at more kind of the services oriented names, and I'm really trying to avoid anything that benefited from the pandemic, which you're going to see growth continuing to slow. I mean, everybody's talking about, oh, Amazon was better than feared. But don't forget, this March quarter coming up, the midpoint of the revenue guidance is for 5.5% revenue growth or so. And so, you know, where is the floor? We're going to have to find out, because this is the third quarter in a row where Amazon's missed the top line forecast that people had. And I think you're going to continue to see that. Netflix has missed 3 out of the last 4 quarters on subscribers. And these are all names, though, that benefited, you know, over the last 2 years from COVID when that started up. That's falling off. That's how we're sort of looking at the portfolio. You know, that's why we like bank stocks, for example, or oil stocks, for example. That's where we have some of our biggest weightings in sort of the service-oriented names, the reopening themes.
And then last question here, I want to keep thematically with the Super Bowl coming up this weekend. Obviously, online gambling and the available stocks and the ways that you can play that, whether through DraftKings directly or an ETF like Bets, for example, getting a lot of attention. Do you have any sort of thesis on whether or not that's a playable thing? Is that going to yield more than taking the under on the Bengals this weekend?
Well, I think the Rams are going to win, but we'll see. I think if you look at the sports betting space, I mean, this comes back to a comment you made earlier about Lyft, Brian, where you're starting to focus more on profitability for a lot of these companies. And one of the problems you have right now is it's sort of wide open space, and the companies are being incredibly promotional. When New York opened up, for example, Caesars had this deal where if you deposited $3,000 into your account, then they would match it with another $3,000 you could bet. So this is crushing the profitability and making these companies lose a lot more money. Now, the top lines for all these names are going to grow 20 to 50%, which is great. But I think when these companies report the March quarter, you're going to see, you know, cash flow, operating income estimates get cut again. But then I'm hoping that that sort of sets a floor where you start to see more rational pricing behavior going forward, and these companies can become more profitable. We like the data providers to the sports betting companies better. We own a name called Sports Radar, for example. They are the biggest player in that space where, you know, regardless of who you are, you have to get your data from somebody so that your bettors can bet. And so they're profitable. They should grow revenues at 20% a year for the next several years. But that's how I think you have to look at that space before you can buy, you know, companies that are losing a lot of money. It's a space we see getting bigger in as this year goes on, because we do think there's going to be more focus on profits and more rational pricing in the future. And the Bets ETF, as you brought up, Brian, I mean, it's gotten absolutely killed over the last year, but we think it's going to try to find a floor here as fundamentals sort of stabilize a little bit.
All right, the Bets ETF and the Rams. I still haven't picked my winner yet. I got to do a little bit more technical analysis. Dan Niles, Satori Fund founder and portfolio manager, thanks for stopping by this morning.